Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that is the wrong thing she has.
Welcome to Girlfriend Therapy Radio. Welcome to the Brownstone. As you guys know, I am super excited. We have been still continuing in our series, The State of the Faith, and today is our final show in this series. As you guys know, we actually did it for the month of July, but I saved my most favorite guest for last. He is the everybody is like one of my favorite people, but this is my most favorite person in the world. He is my buddy, my lover, my friend, the father of my children, my husband of 25, almost 26 years, my best friend for all of my adult life. He is here with me today at the Brownstone, my baby, my husband, my bae, my babe. All the little nicknames I have for him. Quentin is here with me today, you guys. Now, you all know that you always think that he's quiet, so I'm excited to have him here because, like everybody else that I've had on the show, I love talking to really smart people, and Babe is really smart. And I'm going to try not to call him Babe and be more professional through this broadcast, but he is really smart and one of my favorite people to talk to. So I am super excited to get to share him with you guys tonight for a little Girlfriend Therapy Radio as we finish up our series on the state of the faith. And you guys know, I'll let Quentin, you know, tell you a little bit about himself when we come back. But as you guys know, always want to take a quick break to give you an opportunity to grab your pen and your notepad. Again, a lot of nuggets, a lot of good information. You want to write it down, allow the Spirit of God to, minister to you the words that will be spoken this evening. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to jump right into the final in our series on the state of the faith. We'll be right back. So again, I just want to welcome my husband, Quentin Gibson. He is here with me today. Hey, Bae.
Hello, everyone.
So we're going to talk about the state of the faith. And I told you guys, you know, if you follow us on social media, you would have seen today's Babe's birthday. So he is spending his birthday with us today. So you guys know I owe him big because we should be out to dinner or doing something fun on his special day. But he is here with me at the Brownstone helping me do the work of ministry. And I always talk about how he is, truly my covering. I could not begin to do anything in ministry had God not put him with me and put him over me to cover me in all the work that God has called me to do. And he is made for me and I am made for him. So God did a wonderful thing in pulling us together. So so without further ado, I'm going to let Babe kind of chime in and, just kind of welcome him.
Hello, everyone. Just here with my beautiful wife. Just want to give my take on the state of the faith. And I listened to some great men, Pastor Hooks, Pastor Ron, Minister Will, and all three men. I mean, I don't know Minister Will as well as Kwanzaa does, but I understand and listen to many conversations that they've had, and or listen to the conversation that she shared with me that they had. And all men of God all have something to say, and so I'm excited to give or come behind them and try to wrap up this State of the Faith message.
So, Bay, I want you to tell them a little bit about, like, you know, you've been saved since I've known you. In fact, I think we both were saved, but you were really walking the faith life, like you were, you know, surrendered and committed to God. And what I love about you most, and I talk about it often, is your consistency, because you are always and still just very consistent, very even keel, very peaceful, just giving honor to God and acknowledging God and all the things that we do, not just with yourself, but even as a husband and as a father, as the head of our house. You're just a wonderful example of what a godly man looks like. So I want you to share with our listeners, like, how did you, or how long have you been in the faith? How did you come to know Christ, and how long have you been in the faith?
Okay, so I came to know Christ back in 1990. Now, I was raised in a church. So I was one of those people who always thought I was saved. You know, I'm like, I'm saved because, you know, we go to church every Sunday. We praise God, you know, we sing, we pray, I know some scriptures. So I thought I was always saved. I joined the military in 1989. And 1990, I was listening to a pastor that my dad had turned me on to called, his name was R.W. Shambach. And R.W. Shambach said, your mom could have gave birth to you in a church, but that doesn't make you saved. You're not saved until you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and believe that He is, you know, He is Lord. And so with that, you know, I realized I wasn't saved, and that was you know, I was in military at the time. I was back in AIT. So at that point, I fell on my knees in my barracks room, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So that was about 1990, and from that time to this time, you know, I've been walking the faith, you know. We've been all over since that time, you know, from Korea to Germany, you know, military family. But I'm always trying to find a church home to be in, and we've been in leadership positions and just parishioners, just there, you know, amen, hearing the word. But that's pretty much my story, you know. I wasn't saved, but I thought I was, you know. So.
And I think a lot of people, I mean, I love that you said that, you know, you were raised in a church, and it wasn't until, you know, you heard that message that, hey, you have to accept Christ for yourself. And a lot of people, I think, are kind of riding off of, you know, maybe their spouse or their parents or someone else who's given their life to Christ. And those people are the ones you often find, say, hey, can you pray for me? And I'll tell you, when I first met you, that's how I was, because I was like, oh, he's a man of God, so I'll just, you know, hang on to his coattail, and, you know, I'll get the, you know, the blessings will pour over on me. And there were times where I didn't realize, you know, especially early on as a believer, I didn't realize that I could pray for myself. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, even when we were dating, I would always ask you to pray for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful for that. Like I said, just your example of what the relationship looked like. And I share this story, and we're going to get into Quentin's perspective on the state of the faith. But one of the stories I share often is when Quentin and I met in Leavenworth, Kansas, back in, was it 1990?
91.
Yeah. When we first met, you know, I was a party girl. I would go out. I would go to the clubs. I would hang out, and Babe was always reading his word. And you talk about two unlikely pair. But he would always be reading his word, and I'd be ironing clothes, getting ready to go to the club, and he'd be like, babe, you know, listen to this. And, you know, he'll drop some scripture, you know, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, you know. And I always say, when I gave my life to Christ, much like Babe, I'm going to keep calling him Babe, guys, but much like Babe, when I gave my life to Christ, I was in the barracks in Leavenworth, Kansas, and, you know, fell to my knees, and three of the four words that I knew when I gave my life to Christ, three of them came from my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time. And it was, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And Babe literally shared those scriptures with me on occasions when I was preparing to go to the club, and he was sitting there reading the Bible. And so, like I said, God has truly made him for me. So, you know, just to kind of give you guys a little bit of background about us, our relationship, our walk together over these past 25 years married, almost 26 years married, but over these past 27 years, if it was 1990 or 91. But in any case, one of the things, like I always say, is just his consistency. And so I would have been remiss if I didn't ask my husband, my covering, to be with me on this very last session in this series. And I really want to get his take on the state of the faith. Of course, we've had conversations, but again, I want you guys to get to know him and know how lucky I am to have him as my husband. So I want you to share with us what you think or how do you see the state of the faith.
So what I see is the state of the faith right now, and I look at the people, and I believe the people are desiring more right now. They're in the state of desiring more, Amen. Desiring more from their leaders, desiring more from the church, and that's where we are. That's where we are right now, and that's a good state to be in. You know, that's not necessarily a bad state because, you know, Scripture tells us, you know, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock, and it will be open. So that starts with a desire. You know, we're desiring more, but we're desiring more from our leaders. We're desiring more from the church. You know, think about Jesus way back in the day, right? He was, whenever he was having a healing ministry, and the disciples, it was getting late in the evening, and he said, the disciples said to Jesus, you know, send them away so they can get something to eat.
Mm.
But Jesus said, no, let's give them something to eat. You know, so Jesus was always giving them more. He was already healing them from whatever was ailing them. But now he's in the state of feeding them also. So that's where I believe the people are right now. They're desiring more, and I believe the church has to match that. You know, again, I'm looking at the people who've been here before me this month. You know, talking about the state of the faith. Pastor Hooks is a church. You know, he gives his people more. He's giving them more than just the word. You know, he's giving out scholarships to the community, both here in Baltimore County and Baltimore City. You know, backpack drives that, you know, can rival big churches 3-4 times his size, but yet his backpack drive is just as big. And Pastor Ron, we were down in the city.
Amen.
You know, he was giving some things to the community. You know, he had a moon bounce out there. You know, food, crayons, and just school supplies for the kids. So that we're in a state of desiring more, or the people are in a state of desiring more, and those churches that are giving more than just the word. You know, Jesus always, if you can go through the scriptures, look at him, he gave more than just the word. You know, preached the word with signs following. Yeah. So there was other things that he was giving. And even I got to brag on Kwanzaa a little bit now, but even Kwanzaa, you know, we talk about girlfriend therapy. She gives you a message, but you're going to always walk away with like a small gift, you know. And that gift is going to remind you of the message. It's going to point back to the message. So that's where we're at. We're desiring more, and that's what we need from our church leaders.
Amen. I love that. Desiring more. And it really is. It's like a hunger. And that's what I see as well, that people just have a hunger for Christ. And some people, or they just have a hunger, and some people don't even know what that hunger is or how to feel it or how to feed that hunger. And so a lot of times I think that they look for imitations or different things to feed that hunger and not really sure, you know, what that is. And when I think about when I gave my life to Christ, there was something missing, and I didn't understand what that was. But for me, you were that example of this level of peace that I desired, you know, just this level of love for Christ that I desire, and a level of love for me that I desired. So I think that is so real when you talk about just having that desire and that hunger for more. And I think the scary thing is if you don't know what that is, or if you try to fill that with something else other than a love of God or the peace of God, then, you know, you'll just have a counterfeit of that. So I love that. I love that so much. And I would agree with you, just the work that, you know, Pastor Ron and Pastor Hooks does for the community. And again, very, you know, not large churches, not huge churches, not mega churches, but their work is mega. They do mega work.
Amen.
And so, you know, my husband and I, we love to sow into, you know, into the work that, you know, that they're doing. So I want to ask you, I mean, you talked about just the desire, and you talked about how the church has a responsibility to give more. And we can talk about giving more from a tangible perspective, you know, talking about backpack drives and clothes drives and things like that. But from a spiritual perspective, you know, what does it look like for the church to give more spiritually?
Mm-hmm. So as I look at it, and for the church to give more spiritually, I believe we have to, or the, you know, church leaders have to teach on the believer's authority. You know, we have an authority as a believer, you know, and I don't know that we know that. I don't know that we're exercising it. If we do know it, and for those who may be exercising it, I don't know if they really believe that it's having an effect. But believe it, it does. And so that's we leaders, you know, church leaders, we have to preach on the authority. And I believe that authority is in our mouth. Ephesians 6:17, you know, God said the sword of the Spirit, you know, it was, you know, talking about the full armor of God. You know, it's all in the Ephesians, I believe, 13 through 17 or 12 through 17. But he's talking about the full armor of God. We only have one offensive weapon, and that's the sword of the Spirit, which, you know, the word says is the word of God.
Amen.
And that's the only offensive weapon that we have. Everything else, breastplate of righteousness, that's just covering the vitals, covering the heart, the lungs, you know, the helmet, salvation, all these things. But that sword of the Spirit is the thing we can take out, and we can yield it, and we can approach the enemy with it. And that's the thing that we have to use. And that's the word of God, you know, just speaking God's word after him. You know, I always say, whose word are you speaking? Are you speaking the words of the world? Or are you speaking God's word, you know? I don't know how much you want me to go here. But,
okay.
So, you know, in the beginning. In the beginning, you know, God said, you know, the world was out of shape and full of darkness. And God said,
amen,
light be. You know, he didn't show up to darkness and speak darkness, but he spoke light. Jesus, when he was in the storm and the disciples came to him, they was like, don't you care that we perish? And he said, peace, be still. So in the midst of chaos, he spoke peace. And I'll give one more. You know, when the ruler came and they said his daughter was dead, you know, trouble not the master, your daughter is dead. And he said, no, she's not dead. She's sleeping.
Amen.
So he never showed up at any set of circumstances, taking the lesson from God the Father, you know, going out into darkness, speaking light. And when everything is darkness, he never showed up at a circumstances and spoke what circumstances was telling him. He spoke the word.
Amen.
And so that's taking authority. That's taking authority. And his word is what dominated, you know. When God said light, you know, light travels at the speed of, I don't know the numbers, but, you know, it's still traveling to this day. So when Jesus spoke peace, the storm ceased. When he said she's sleeping, he rose, you know, after he kicked the doubters out, and then he raised the young lady up. So our authority is in our tongue, and I think that's what we need in this hour as we, you know, as we continue to advance the kingdom.
Amen. Amen. Now, you talked about, I love that you talk about taking authority and the believer's authority. And I know our pastor, Dr. Bill Winston, that's one of the things, I mean, that he talks about. And I know for us, as you know, when we became a young couple in the faith, we our words were like, we knew that there was power in our words. You know, we believe God at his very word and still continue 20 some years later, still believe God at his word. And you can imagine, you know, during a 25 years married, almost 26, raising children and buying homes and all those different things and changing jobs and, you know, being a military family and traveling across the world. I could not think of any better anchoring than to be anchored in our faith.
Amen.
And so when we think about just some of the challenges that we face as a family, you know, after, I think I shared this before, like when my daughter was born and, you know, the doctors were saying, you know, just had, you know, different diagnosis. And so she would need surgery for this and she would need a replacement of that. And, you know, we didn't accept or receive any of that. And I mean, we were, what, 25 when Nia was born. So we were a young couple and we just stood on the word of God, even in the face of, you know, at the time, I think we were under a pastor who didn't believe in healing. And I'll let you tell the story because you tell it better and I always mess it up. But, you know, just to talk to the point of really the believer's victory, you know, the voice of victory and just knowing that our words have power in Christ. But I want you to share that testimony. And I think it lends itself to, again, the believer's, you know, victory and the believer's voice. So I just want you to share that.
So, you know, we were back in Germany. Again, you know, we were under a pastor who at the time, he didn't believe in healing. And I had a kind of a leadership role at that time. Also, I was a deacon in this particular church. So I would always have some type of speaking role up front, you know, before the pastor, you know, got into the pulpit. So I always had a scripture that I would read and I would kind of elaborate on. And most of the time, you know, it kind of evolved around healing or something like that, you know, something that God has for us. And then, you know, just shortly after that, he would get into the pulpit and he would contradict what I just said, you know, but, you know, he wasn't contradicting me. He was, you know, he's contradicting the word. The word says healing. I'm just saying what the word says.
Amen.
And so, you know, our daughter was born. And so that's the backdrop of that. And then not too long after that, or in that time period, our daughter was born and she was born with some, you know, some complications or whatever. And, you know, she was born with a hernia. The doctor said he would have to operate on that. You know, it was a fairly large hernia, born with some hip discomfort or something going on with her hips. And the doctor said he would have to operate there. Cleft palate, you know, the little, when you scream, you see a little cartoon screaming, the thing dangling in the back of the throat. Well, that thing wasn't really there. You know, it wasn't fully there. And so these are the things. Our eyes, and our eyes were kind of crossed or whatever at the time. Well, anyway, these are the things that we faced at the time. And but we stood on the word, you know, and we prayed that, you know, by his stripes you were healed. And so we believe, we know that, and that's past tense. So God has already taken care of this thing. So we brought what's in the past tense into the present tense, and we said we're going to stand on this word. And God healed her of everything. You know, the hernia went down, just kind of melted down, the hips came together, and, you know, the little thing that's in the back of the throat that began, you know, that's dangling now, you can go look at it, you know, if you see her, you know what I'm saying? But, and her eyes, you know, if you see her, you know, she doesn't have cross eyes at all, you know, she's so fully intact. God made her whole. The word makes us whole. So just taking the word, and I will, you know, I can go into it a little bit more, but I'll wait. But, yeah, just standing on that word, even if the pastor contradicts you, you know, as long as the word doesn't, you know, you should be in line with the word. The pastor should be in line with the word. If you are in line with the word and the pastor is saying something else, you don't have to approach him about it. You don't have to approach him about it. But if he comes to you and that opportunity is there, you know, you can talk to him. And we did have a conversation, me and this pastor. We had it in the gym, not at the church, but we were just, you know, playing ball or whatever. And then we kind of talked about that.
And he still was like going back and forth, like.
Oh yeah, he never came to my side or not to my side, but to the scripture side, to the word side. He never came to that side, and he was pretty much preaching his experience. His mom, you know, had passed.
Grandmother.
She was still alive actually, because we kind of talked about this. So she was still alive, but they had been praying and for her healing, and she never received it. And so with that, he was preaching his experience, you know, saying, well, God doesn't heal everyone, and that's where he is coming from. And, you know, I talked to him. I said, well, if she's still alive, she can still be healed, you know. And he's like, no, you don't hear me. You know, we've been praying for years. I said, well, if she's still alive, she can still be healed. You know?
Amen.
But, no. Anyway, that was the experience. Just standing on the word, you know, you got to know the word for yourself. That
Amen.
Means because sometimes, you know, preachers may be incorrect, you know, not that they're trying to willfully preach incorrect, but they just don't know sometimes, or
Amen.
They're preaching their experience, you know.
Amen. And I think those kind of life lessons or those kind of tests in a faith, you know, I've heard a pastor say, you know, a faith untested can't be trusted. And I think on those times where, you know, where you as a believer, knowing the word, and then being able to share that word and being wholly convinced of what God said despite anything else. And babe, I know we're talking about the state of faith, but I would be remiss, I'm going to stop using that term, but I would be remiss if we didn't talk about the state of the faith as it pertains to couples, as it pertains to married couples or, you know, young couples that's looking to get married. What kind of advice, and I'm going to yield to you, from just a spiritual perspective on how to build a good spiritual foundation. You know, Pastor Ron, last week talked about the important role of the man in a household. Mm-hmm. And I would add to that that, you know, there has to be a woman who is willing to submit to the man in the household. And I would add to that that, you know, the man has to be in a position. There are things, of course, you know, I submit to you in areas. You would probably argue that there are some that I could probably do better. But but, you know, there are areas where, you know, even as a young couple, where we just really had to kind of come together from a spiritual perspective. So I don't want to put you on the spot, but just what are some of the things from a young couple's perspective with regards to the state of the faith? Because we know that marriage is what, like 50% of, you know, like the statistics for Christian couples getting divorced is just as high, right, as those non-believers. So what would you say as a man of God? Again, we started off very young. I mean, we got married, we were what, 20, 21?
21. Yeah,
21 years old. And so we were a very young couple making grown-up decisions, raising kids, you know, trying to come together financially, trying to come together, you know, just as a family. So I'll shut up and let you, well, I won't say shut up. I'll stop talking and let you just kind of elaborate.
Okay. So, I mean, that's a very interesting topic. what I would say is, and it kind of goes back to words, you know, we don't speak any differently than the world does.
Mm.
You know, we're in this world. We're not of this world. You know, we say that in church. But there's a different language that we should be speaking.
Amen.
Every time I, you might want to, you can chime in here too, but every time I hear the word of marriage is hard.
Mm.
And it is, no doubt, you know, it's a challenge.
Right.
But marriage is honorable also. There's a lot of things scripture says about marriage that we should be speaking over our marriage. So me and Kawanza, we've been married 25 years. There's, you know, of course, there's been times in that thing, like, you know, I just have to say the word over, you know. I just got to speak the word, you know. And, you know, at the times, like, I'm upset with her or angry, and what I would do is I love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And I'm not feeling that at the time, but that's what I'm saying over our marriage, over us. You know, I love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We're not speaking. I try to stay in line with the word as much as possible.
Amen.
You know, and I call that speaking the language of the kingdom. You know, we have to speak the language of the kingdom. For far too many of us, we speak the language of this world. The world is dark, you know. We've been translated from darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, yet we still speak dark language, you know. We still speak and we still showing up to, you know, God showed up to darkness and he spoke light. We show up to darkness, you know. We see Baltimore City, you know, maybe the crime, maybe the young brothers killing each other or whatever, and these guys ain't going to never get it together, these young people. That's darkness. We speak in darkness.
Right.
And we should be speaking light. We should be speaking life.
Amen.
And so, you know, that's not what scripture says about them. He said, great will be the peace of your children, you know.
Amen.
You know, scripture after scripture, you know, God will increase you more and more, both you and your children. You know, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Those are the things, you know, I speak over our sons when I get a chance to. But again, with that, you also want to speak those things over your marriage, you know.
Amen.
Again, so like back to it, you know, I love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, I'm speaking life over our marriage. And something else I want to get to, but it kind of escapes me at the moment. But that's it. I would just say, you know, definitely have a godly marriage. Pray. We pray together as a young couple. We went to church together as a young couple, and we just stayed connected, and
And for the young couple, I would just say, yeah, just stay connected to God and stay connected with one another.
Amen. And I think an important thing, too, Quentin is far more private than I am, so I'm kind of watching his eyes. I don't want to say anything that, you know, he's not comfortable with us talking about. But one of the things I will say is that you have to, like, you and your spouse are one. You can't let anything or anyone come in between the two of you. And I'll tell you, I'm so grateful for spiritual mentors who not just love me, but love me and my husband, who love our family. We have our brother, our dear brother and sister in the faith, you know, Mark and Marie Hill, who either of us can call at any given time.
Amen.
And say, hey, he's getting on my nerves, or, you know. and I get called, hey, he could call Mark, hey, she's getting on my nerves, you know. And they love us. They love us as a couple. But the point is that if you expose yourself as able to be divided, you know, unfortunately, there are things, and even in the church, dare I say, that will attempt to divide you. And I know, even for me, you know, being in ministry, my father in the faith, you know, my spiritual mentor, you know, had to remind me that, you know, God is not going to put ministry over your marriage. And so I had to step back and, you know, and really, even as a leader in ministry and a leader in other areas of my life, you know, realizing that my husband is my covering, you know. So oftentimes, before I even speak, you know, if my husband's with me, particularly, you know, with my conferences and things like that, you know, he'd take me aside and he'd pray over me before I even speak. And to me, that's that oneness, you know, that's the important, you know, just is very important as a couple. And I want to say that, because a lot of times, and babe, you can chime in too. A lot of times, what you see in a church is the woman, she does more for the pastor than she does for her husband. You know, she'll be running around, pastor, you okay? Pastor, you okay? And, you know, need some water, you need this. Meanwhile, her husband's parched,
mm-hmm.
You know. So sometimes, you know, there is the tendency to do that as well. But your husband, ladies, is, you know, that is, he is the head. He is the one that you serve,
mm-hmm.
you know, before anybody else, you know, before any other man or any other person, you know, he is the one that you serve. And honestly, that was a lesson that I didn't know I had to learn, because I thought that I was correct. But praise God for our, you know, one of our spiritual mentors who, you know, who cared enough about both of us to be honest with me and tell me, you need to check yourself and, you know, and make sure that you're in order. But I wanted to bring that up because, again, I think it is important,
right,
you know, for us to be a young, still a young couple,
mm-hmm.
praise God, enjoying our emptiness.
Right.
still a young couple, you know, raised our children, you know, and God has blessed us. He's really kept us and continues to keep us. But I thought it was important, you know, to have Babe on, you know, and although we're here to talk about the state of the faith, I think it's an important time to talk about the state of the faith as it pertains to couples, as it pertains
right.
to marriage, as it pertains to the family, and just really piggybacking off of kind of what Pastor Ron talked about as the role of the man in the household and the role of the man in the church, but also I think the role of the wife and the role of the couple, because as you know, mentioned, babe, it's important even for the children, you know, and how our foundation, and I look at how our kids look at us, you know, like we are their examples, you know, both of our children are in relationships and we look at ourselves as, you know, relationship mentors to them, you know, but to see how they navigate relationship and how they treat their significant others and, you know, and how they really look at us, you know.
Right.
So I think that's important. And I don't want to derail what you wanted to talk about, but I just didn't want to have us here together and not just tap on marriage, you know, a faith-led marriage.
Right.
You know, and we can probably do another show specifically on that, but I just wanted to take that opportunity to say that. So I'm going to be quiet. And I want you to share, you know, one of the other questions I wanted to ask you is, you know, you talked about desire is one of the things where you see the state of the faith. And desire, like you said, is a good thing,
mm-hmm.
you know. But what are some of the challenges you think or pitfalls that if the church isn't responsive to that desire, what are some of the pitfalls do you think that the community or the parishioner or the believer is vulnerable to? Does that make sense?
I get it. So I did talk about the desire and that, and people desiring more, but I think what the parishioner is vulnerable to is
is that, you know, they're probably not going to want to hang around that particular church or that particular edifice. So now they're going to either find another church or they're not going to go to church.
They're not going to go at all.
And so when you're not going to church, they're particularly vulnerable. You know, they don't have a covering. They don't have a tribe. You know, surround yourself with that little quote that you got with the lions, surround yourself with the people on the same mission as you are, whatever. So they don't have those people around you anymore. Now you got people who might be trying to take from you or whatever. And so that makes you vulnerable. You're no longer part of a tribe, no longer part of a people who cover you in prayer and looking out for you. So those are the pitfalls. I guess another one, and I guess this is a different way of looking at that same thing. What you're doing here, you know, Girlfriend Therapy Radio, Brownstone Radio, is that, you know, it's a different voice. You know, let's just say there's somebody right now, they're in a church, and maybe just like we experienced in Germany, their pastor doesn't believe in a whatever it is, prosperity, healing, or there's some aspect that he just does not believe in. Well, now you get to speak directly to them, you know, and the, you know, but the pastor is saying, you know, they can hear a different voice, a different way of thinking about this. Now, you, not only can you talk to them, but you can point them to the scripture. So you don't have to say, I'm sorry, you don't have to say that, well, you know, your pastor is wrong. I'm not going to say that. The only thing I'm going to say is look at the scripture.
Amen.
Look at, you know, whatever scripture that pertains and what do you ascertain from that? What do you come up with from that? You know, well, that's the word. You know, I'm not pointing you to what Kwanzaa said. I'm pointing you to what God said, what the word says. And so the pitfalls, we can overcome the pitfalls, but we have to know the word for ourselves.
Amen.
Yeah.
And that's important, knowing the word for yourself. And as you know, as you have that hunger and desire, because I'll tell you, I mean, I can think about when I was young in a faith, that hunger is so real. I mean, it's like there are times I was just like, just hungry for the word of God. And, you know, you would go to church and you would hear something and it, you know, it's like an appetizer, but, you know, I just couldn't stay out of his word. You know, I couldn't, I'm like listening to it and reading it and you know, reading books and listening to, you know, other evangelists and different things like that. And that hunger is very, very real. And like we said earlier, if you don't know, if you're feeding it with the wrong thing, you know, then that could leave you vulnerable, like you said. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to continue to talk more about the state of the faith. But we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Some good conversation. I'm really enjoying this, guys, just, you know, being able to sit here. You know, we'll do this like on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning. You guys have seen him have me out there walking. And typically after our walk, we kind of sit, you know, at the island in the kitchen and just kind of talking. So these are some of the conversations that we have. But I'll tell you, you know, Babe is not going to talk about this, but he kind of started talking about the work that he does with young boys. And when he gets an opportunity to speak to young guys, he has a foundation, Keeping Our Sons Alive, is a 501c3 organization where he is really dedicated to, you know, keeping our sons alive, you know, and building relationships between our communities and our law enforcement. So he does events throughout the year. He speaks throughout the year. Just really very, very engaging and very passionate about our young boys and our young men. So, you know, I have to have him on another time to talk more about that, especially, in fact, when he's maybe during his next event, we'll, you know, find some time to bring you on and talk more about that. But keeping in line with the state of the faith, I know you wanted to say something more about marriage and the faith. So I'll let you go ahead.
All right. So just one last note on marriage. You think about it as you go back through scripture, you talk in Genesis, God created the institution of marriage before he created the institution of church. So, you know, Kwanzaa had mentioned how, you know, some women as they're serving, they seem like they're serving their pastor or more willing or apt to serve their pastor than their husband. But your first dedication, your first duty is to your husband and then to the church, you know. So, you know, just keep that in mind as we grow in the faith, as our marriages grow, as young couples, as we, you know, become older couples. keep that in mind because, you know, that's your first. And even the men, you know, we have to, our first dedication is to our wives, you know, we can get so involved in the church and, you know, and I'm not saying don't volunteer. That's not what I'm saying at all. But you know how to strike that balance. You got to strike that balance. You got to have time for your wife and time to do the things the pastor is calling you to do or asking for you to do. First institution is marriage, and then the church was created after that.
Amen. So I wanted to ask you, you know, just a follow-up question with regards to the state of the faith. Now, if I understand, you said that what you believe the state of the faith is people are hungry, they have a desire for God. And then you said some of the challenges if they don't, I guess if that desire isn't fed, and then you talk about how the church, the pastor's responsibility is to teach the believer of their authority.
Amen.
So what are some of the, things that you did say the believer on their own need to learn and study the word.
Mm-hmm.
But what else? Because statistics show that more people, I think Pastor Hook shared a lot of really good statistics last time, and he talked about particularly for this millennial generation, you know, a lot of them are not going to church, and you kind of alluded it to yourself when you said that if they're not getting what they need from the church, if their desires are not being met, then some people will go from one church to another, and then some people ultimately will stop going to church in general.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my question is, I don't know if the responsibility is then on the church to do something more, or who would you say, or is it a joint or shared responsibility? Or I guess what can the church do to, I guess, bring more young people in the church or bring people in the church that's just kind of not wanting to come to church?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll let you marinate on that question. And the reason I ask it, I mean, as you know, I'll leave a church in a minute. So, I mean, honestly, if I'm not getting fed, I will leave the church in a minute. And for me, you know, you kind of talk about the importance of having that covering, the importance of having that relationship. And I shared, you know, you are one of the longest spiritual relationships that I had. You know, you've been in a faith since I've known you. So over 26 years, you know, you're the longest relationship that I've had. I have, you know, brothers and sisters in the faith, you know, Pastor Armstead, who's been a spiritual mentor to me for over 25 years, I guess. Yeah. Well, more closer to 23 years. I have my dear sister in the faith, Marie, who's been, you know, a spiritual mentor to me for like 22 years. So I would look at it and say, well, I have that spiritual base. I have that tribe around me. And right now, like I said, our pastor is in Chicago, Dr. Bill Winston. So we don't have the luxury or the pleasure of doing, you know, church-like events or even going, you know, to sit in the church, but, you know, really doing church online. I don't even know what my question is. I guess I'm trying to figure out what would you tell a young person or just somebody who's kind of, you know, not really interested in going to church because their desires are not being met. You know, what is the responsibility, not just the person, but the church as well?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Well, that makes great.
All right.
And so the way I would answer that is I would say, and this is a quote straight from Dr. Bill Winston. And he says, the word of God is not meant to be dictated, but demonstrated. Jesus never had a problem creating a crowd. You know, he never had a problem with that because there were some demonstrations going on. You know,
Amen.
People
Amen.
Were being healed. People were, you know, being set free. You know, he seen the woman that was bowed down. He said, "Woman, thou art loose."
Amen.
And you know, he said that before. She didn't stand up straight when she said that, but when he touched her, you know, she stood straight. So there was demonstrations. Whenever you have demonstrations, what the scriptures say, preach the word with the signs following, you know, whatever that people, you know, walking or the lame walking or the, you know, deaf hearing or whatever it is, you're going to get a crowd. The young people are going to come. The old people are going to come. All people will come. And that's what we got to do. And I guess to that point, you know, how do you get there? Well, just talking about it, because faith comes by hearing, right? So if we're talking about the, and this is what Jesus said to us before he left, right? He said, because I go to the Father, greater works than these, if the works that I've done, greater works that you will do.
Amen.
I know I messed that scripture up, but.
right.
So, but, you know, you will do the greater works. And so that's what we're supposed to do. We preach the word with signs following. And talk about the signs. Talk about the demonstrations that used to happen. Because faith comes that way, you know, when we talk about it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing, right? So if we're talking about it, we're probably going to see that more. But the young people will come. I mean, I guarantee you they will come when they say, when we see something, someone's over here. I just read this, actually, I listened to this, and it was a young people in Disneyland, and they were holding a healing meeting in Disneyland. They had pulled over to the side, and they were young people. These are young people. I don't know what their age is, but they said youth. And so they were just anybody who had pain in their knees or this, that, the other, they were praying for them and touching them right there in Disneyland. So when you're willing to preach the word with sign following or just touch hands, you know, lay your hands on someone and pray for something that's ailing them.
Amen.
You're gonna gather a crowd even at Disneyland. So I think that's it.
Amen. And I love that. I love just the demonstration of the faith. What I find is people aren't really sharing. You know, I mean, just what the healing, you know, you're not really hearing that as much. And I think when people start sharing that and, you know, without fear or hesitation, you know, a lot of my language and when I talk about people that speak my God language, you know, that's how we preface everything. You know, God said, God did, God, you know, everything that we say is prefaced with what God did, or what God said, and we don't walk out like, oh, I did this or I did that, you know. And I think that's the difference in the language too, because I think when you start attributing, you know, the blessings to God, to whom they belong, you know, and not, you know, because we're smart or not because we're whatever we think we are, but knowing that it's nothing but God, you know, and just sharing that. People want to know. People want to hear, because one thing for certain, no matter what your age, what your color, what your, you know, your gender, whatever, one thing is for certain is that people are hurting.
Yeah.
And going back to your point of just the desire and the hunger for something more, people are hurting.
Yeah.
And when we become so engulfed and entangled in the world system that we can't even give honor to God, you know, for what he's done, and then to be even able to share that. Like, I'll talk to somebody and they can, you know, they can say, hey, you know, this is what I'm going through. And the moment I mention God, they kind of clam up.
Mm.
And it's like, Kwanzaa has nothing for you. But what I do have is the promises of God that I will share with you. And if you dare, you know, allow that to minister and get into your spirit and should I say even speak those words back, you know, then God is faithful. Like the scripture said, my words will not return to me void. It'll do exactly what he's purposed. So one of the things I often say is, you know, find a word and stand on it,
Amen.
You know, no matter what it is that you're going through. And babe, I know time was going to go by so quickly. We have like just a few minutes, but I want to give you, you know, maybe if you can take the next 5 minutes or so and just share whatever you want to share, you know, on a state of the faith, whatever thoughts that you wanted to share with our listeners that you just, you know, want to make sure that they get.
Mm-hmm. So I guess one of the things I wanted to share, I'm going back to, you know, speaking the word over your circumstances, you know,
Amen.
Showing up to darkness and speaking light, you know. So, and that's actually a battle, you know, you know, because circumstances want you to speak circumstances, you know,
mm-hmm.
and but that's not what God wants us to speak, you know. Why did the disciples run to Jesus and say, "Don't you care that we perish?" Who told them that, you know? you know, was it the devil on the boat? Who told them that they were perishing? And so it was circumstances. It was the storm. It was the boats. It was the waves coming in the water. I mean, coming into the boat. The circumstances spoke to them what they were saying. And so they went to Jesus and spoke what circumstances told them. And Jesus got up and spoke against the circumstances. I'm telling the believer right now that you are supposed to, if the circumstances do not line up with your with the word of God, if you're not prospering the way you should prosper, if you're not as healed as you should be, you should be speaking those things. I got one quick story. I'm kind of hyped, right? But anyway, I got one quick story. When I was in Korea, you know, stationed away from my wife, my Kwanzaa was actually pregnant, you know, before I went to Korea. But anyway, that's not really part of the story. But I had caught a cold over there, and it was a nasty cold, you know, it was a real cough. And so, you know, I was always in the scripture, you know, and in the words. And so whenever I would cough, and this cough lasted for maybe a month and a half, but I had these large bouts of coughing, just a fit of coughing. And when I finished coughing, every time I finished, I would say, Father, I thank you that I'm healed.
Amen.
And then I would go into another rant, just coughing. I feel like I'm about to cough up a lung. You know, we heard that expression. And then, Father, and once I'm able to talk again and I'm stop coughing, Father, I thank you that I'm healed. And so I did that for weeks. And then finally, maybe after a month and a half, the cough kind of subsided. But from that point to this point, I don't get sick too often because I've spoken that thing into my life. It's in my consciousness. It's in who I am. So sickness, I probably get sick maybe once every 2 or 3 years. No, I don't get sick every winter. I don't get sick when they give me the flu shot. You know, none of those things are my confession. My word is I'm healed, you know. So the established fact was this. When I was coughing, the fact was I was sick. That's the fact. But the truth is, I'm healed. You know, so I go with the truth. The truth supersedes fact.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about. I can go all on over and over.
No, go ahead.
So truth supersedes fact. You know, just as the law of gravity is superseded by the law of lift. You know, we're supposed to all be grounded until we found a higher law, which is the law of law of lift. And so we send the aerodynamic structure down a runway at, you know, a certain amount of speed, at some point it's going to lift. So that's the law of lift. And with our words, we can lift ourselves out of, you know, any situation that we're in. You know, we have to speak it, and we have to continue down that runway until we receive that lift. So it took me a month and a half. I could have stopped after a week. But if I stopped after a week, you know, maybe I still would have got over the cold. I would have still got over the cold, but would I still be receiving the truth of healing? Yeah, truth of healing for years later, you know. Yeah. So I established that in my life. And there's other things, you know, I can talk about. How much time we got?
don't start preaching. But, No, I love that. And I love how you say to establish it. And I think that's the key. So when we talk about, I mean, you know, time goes by so quickly, but just to kind of summarize just the past month, and when we talk about the state of the faith, you know, we learn that, you know, there are things, you know, really if we separate ourselves, one, from Christ, if we separate ourselves from the Word of God, if we separate ourselves even from one another as believers, and if we separate ourselves, you know, from our position, and that's just all these 4 weeks in a nutshell. If we separate ourselves from each other, from Christ, from the Word, from our positions and our authority, if we separate ourselves, then we will not be able to establish ourselves and get anchored in the promises of Christ. And I think when we think about the state of the faith, you know, I think it was Pastor Hooks who said he was hopeful. And I think there is hope there, but I think there is also an equal amount of concern as well. I am so grateful for my love and my babe, you know, for coming on and sharing his birthday with us, guys. I knew that this time would go by so quickly. And because this series, I have to share this, you know, because this series, I feel like we could talk about this for, you know, shows to come, because this series and the topic is so in-depth. What we're going to do is actually, I'm super excited to announce that we're going to have a State of the Faith Forum. More information will come out, but we're actually, it's actually scheduled for Saturday, September the 30th, from 9 a.m. to 12 a.m. Pastor Hook is actually going to host us at Transformation of Life Christian Center. So you guys know more information will come out, but I am incredibly excited to have, you know, all of my guests, join us for a State of the Faith forum where you guys will get to ask questions. We'll kind of get into deeper conversations about it and really just unpack this thing and really get to the root and not just figure out what the church responsibility is, but also what is our responsibility, because we essentially are the church. So there are leaders in the church. We have our pastors and our teachers and our evangelists and our, you know, apostles and our prophets. We have all of them, but we also have, you know, the men and women of God, and we all have a responsibility. The scripture talks about, refers to us as one body, and so there's a responsibility that we each have. So I hope that you guys will mark your calendar. Please continue to stay tuned as we, host, in real time, the State of the Faith Forum. Like I said, that's going to be Saturday, September the 30th, from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., but more information will follow. I want to thank you guys. I knew time would go by so quickly. Again, I want to thank you, babe, for sharing time with us and being here with us. I want to invite you guys to, check us out at the Brownstone. I'm actually going to be on vacation for the month of August, but there will be some, programs for you guys to listen to here on Girlfriend Therapy Radio here at the Brownstone. But I will be taking some much-needed R&R, actually getting my daughter ready for school as well. But we'll be taking some much needed R&R. And then when we come back, hopefully we'll, be bigger and better than ever, more charged, more invigorated, ready to do the work of the kingdom or continue to do the work of the kingdom. But again, I want to thank all of my guests over this series, Pastor Hooks, Pastor Ron, Minister Will, my babe, Minister Quentin Gibson. I just want to thank each and every one of them for taking the time and trusting this platform enough to be transparent and to be honest, and then also for joining me in September to do the State of the Faith Forum. I promise, guys, you don't want to miss it. Your input is very important, so I encourage you to send me an email at Kwanzaa@girlfriendtherapy.org. Again, that's Kwanzaa@girlfriendtherapy.org. We're looking for topics, want to know what you guys want to hear, what questions you have that you want answered. Again, I want to encourage you guys to check out the Tracy Brown Show here on the Brownstone on Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I think that's it. Babe, you have anything left? You just want to say deuces, peace? We only got like seconds left. Well, thank you again for being here. We're actually going to allow him to enjoy his birthday. But blessings to you guys. And until next time, I bid you guys God's best blessings. So, blessings.